Your name?
Catalina Nieto.
Can you explain what's going on outside Union Station by the Christopher Columbus statue?
So today is Columbus Day, although I really call it Genocide Day. There is a statue of Christopher Columbus right in front of Union Station, and they're doing a ceremony kind of like glorifying the life of Christopher Columbus, which in reality is glorifying genocide, over 519 years of genocide of indigenous communities, of slavery all over the Americas. There's people represented from the Embassy of Spain, of Italy, and other U.S. officials that are here talking to the public on this day. But obviously, we have people here that are telling the real story of this history of Christopher Columbus and what he started. I'm actually from Colombia, one of the countries that was colonized, and I migrated here 11 years ago, and it's horrifying to me to see that the history books made Christopher Columbus a hero, when in reality he started a whole culture and philosophy of domination of other people. He was a slave trader before he went colonize other countries, and yeah, I mean, we want to make sure that people know like the real history of just all the genocide and the horrifying killing that he brought to the Americas, and that continues today, you know, in the form of imperialism.
You are passing out little flyers that here at the ceremony where praise is being heaped on Columbus. And they begin with these words: Christopher Columbus is responsible for the murder of millions of indigenous people.
Yeah, I mean, as much as we do protest and all of that, we also want to make sure that people get a chance to read a different side of history. This also says Columbus was a slave trader in Africa before invading America. He began the slave trade in the Americas. He deserves no holiday, no parades, no statues. Columbus Day celebrates the doctrine of discovery, the legal process that stole indigenous people territories and that continues today. And as I was saying before, Columbus brought that philosophy of domination to the Americas that persists today. Domination of other people, domination of the environment, domination of other belief system, domination of women by men.
And that's from transformcolumbusday.org. What's been the response as you've been handing it out to folks?
Well, some people don't even want to take it. Someone told me to get a life. But, you know, it's no matter what, I think it's important that we're out here and we're telling that other side of the story. One of the people that are talking to in this ceremony said that it's sad to see that some people have to interrupt a beautiful ceremony, you know, but I think it's really important that we are the ones interrupting this narrative, you know, this lie in American history. And history books have taken the side of the colonizer, and it's important that we tell the story of the indigenous peoples, of the resistance, 519 years of resistance against colonization that indigenous peoples all over the Americas have been engaged in. So that's what we're here today, no matter, and we want to make them nervous. You know, they have the narrative every day, and we need to make sure that we interrupt that narrative.
Catalina, is this just a matter of historical accuracy, or does this have effects on U.S. foreign policy going forward? You're from Colombia, where the U.S. footprint is felt very heavily.
Yeah, no, obviously. I mean, this started a whole culture and philosophy of domination. Those are, like, colonization is pretty much the roots of the political and economic system that we have right now, which is capitalism that is now globalized, so like imperialism, you know, like we see nowadays the same thing happening of through US policy, that policy of control of natural resources. Colombia, for example, has received more than $7 billion in US military aid under Plan Colombia. What has happened with that is that this military aid has gone to militarize entire zones where they want to make sure they have control of petroleum and they can get in mines, and displaced more than 5.2 million people in Colombia. You know, so colonization is the roots of what we see today in terms of corporate control, corporate, like, global control of our natural resources, the justification for war, for occupation of Palestine, of Libya, of Iraq, of Afghanistan, and obviously, like, all over Central and South America. So, I mean, it very much relates to what we have right now. And also, we do have a lot to learn from indigenous communities that have lived sustainably and very much in connection with the land in a respectful manner, which we're not doing right now under a capitalist system.
One of the signs reads, "Today is Indigenous Resistance Day."
Exactly, yeah. I mean, we have to reclaim the name, you know. We cannot continue to glorify a killer, pretty much. And part of changing the narrative is changing the name. So either is Genocide Day, because that's really what happened, or, you know, celebrate the resistance that came out of what happened.
Thanks for your time, Catalina. Any final thoughts you care to share?
No, I just encourage everybody to take the time to read the history of indigenous people, of immigrants, of African Americans in this country. I think it's really important, especially as we're in a time that there's a lot of popular movements really rising up, and we have a lot to learn from the people that have been in resistance for over 500 years. They have a lot to teach us, and we need to understand that we're not starting from scratch. We have a strong history, a collective history of resistance that we need to celebrate and learn from, and then, as a new generation, be prepared to take the next step, knowing our history and moving forward.
Brings up another question. You mentioned movements that are springing up behind you are folks that have been part of the Occupy DC effort that has been going on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, in reality, these movements have been boiling for many, many years, many generations in other countries. Finally, in the belly of the beast, in the belly of the empire, people are starting to notice what's happening and to rise up. So we have something that started in New York with Occupy Wall Street, and now we have people rising up all over the country, and you know, we have an amazing history already from the popular movements that were coming out of North Africa and the Middle East that I think had a lot of impact in what we're seeing today in the US. And I hope more and more people, you know, raise consciousness and really join these, because it's important that we come together and really figure out alternatives to the system that we have right now, that it's obviously not working. I mean, it's clear, capitalism isn't working. We need to think of alternatives that would allow more people to have a dignified living.
You mentioned Plan Colombia earlier and the billions that have gone in U.S. Military aid, as it's called, to Colombia. I think a lot of people would understand that there's billions going to Iraq and Afghanistan, but maybe some would be surprised about billions going to Colombia. Can you describe what Plan Colombia is?
Plan Colombia is a military aid program that started in 2000. It's been under this umbrella of the so-called war on drugs. A lot of this money has gone to the Colombian military. Much of it has also pretty much trickled down to paramilitary groups that are the ones that are pushing people off their lands to give ownership of those lands to corporations, you know, like Occidental Petroleum, Drummond Corporation, coal companies, mining companies. I mean, what we've seen in reality is like some of the zones that have been militarized thanks to this aid are zones where corporations were having a hard time coming in to take over the resources. So now those were the areas that they militarized and, you know, given control of those resources to corporations. So we see like the military going hand in hand, working hand in hand with corporations in a way to make sure that there's total control, just as colonization, you know, like that domination of our resources. The scary part about Plan Colombia is that it's created a model under the war on drugs that we're hearing it more and more and more, especially in Central and South America. And now they're recreating this model in Mexico under Mérida Initiative that's now expanding to Central America, Honduras, Guatemala. I mean, we're hearing more and more of this narrative. So, I mean, yeah, this is that, I mean, they've pretty much, the U.S. has use Latin America as a laboratory, as an imperial laboratory, and we see how it worked in Colombia, what they were doing, and they're expanding it to other parts of South America. And we've already seen in Colombia, after 10 years, the devastation that it's created. We have 5.2 million internally displaced people in Colombia. Extrajudicial killings that are very much tied to battalions that received the U.S. military aid directly. We have the State Department certifying Colombia on human rights when we know that human rights have not been at the core of this program. We have the country that has more union members killed every year. So, you know, this is what the U.S. is funding, and it's duplicated this model into many other countries.
Excuse my ignorance. Is Colombia, does that have something to do with Columbus, the naming of the country?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. District of Colombia, Colombia, you know, it's very interesting, those contradictions. But yeah, I mean, we are colonized. We are a colonized country. We speak the language of the colonizer, the religion of the colonizer, you know, that was forced into us. So, yeah, the contradictions.
A lot of Latin America has moved left. Colombia, you mentioned Honduras and Guatemala, and I guess the plan in Mexico have been, I guess, somewhat stubborn in moving left. But a lot of Latin America has been moving left of late.
Yeah, no, that's what I said, that it's really important that we study and we learn from the amazing, beautiful resistance that's happening in Latin America. You know, we have Bolivia, Venezuela, and even countries that have, like Honduras, for example. You know, U.S. supported a coup d'etat 2 years ago. Actually, some of the people that did this coup were School of the Americas trained soldiers. And the U.S. supported this coup. We have a dictator right now in Honduras, and they're pretty much selling off the country to foreign investors. Porfirio Lobo was just here. The supposed president of Honduras was here last week, talking to President Obama, saying that things are going well, that democracy is on the way, when you know, hundreds of people are being threatened and killed in Honduras. In the Aguan region, a lot of campesinos where they want to bring the palm, African palm, for African palm oil. Hundreds of campesinos are being pushed off their lands. We see now like paramilitary groups starting to boil up in Honduras. But once again, there's a very, very strong movement of resistance in Honduras also. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot to learn from a lot of the countries and a lot of the movements that are happening in Latin America. And I think it's precisely because they have that strong history of resistance for hundreds of years. And I think here in the U.S., movements here in the U.S. have a lot to learn from what's happening there. We need to take time to listen to them and listen to what they're saying and inform our movements here.
Thanks so much for your time.
Cool. Thank you.